We started on Easter, a series I'm calling Scoreboard. As I said, Easter is the resurrection of Christ was the day that that He backed up all that He had ever said. You know, probably some of you grew up and especially maybe the boys, I guess. You probably grew up and you've heard more than once somebody make the statement, put up or shut up. That's really what was going on with Christ in so many ways. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Jews were basically saying to Christ, put up or shut up. They said right there when He was on the cross, if you're really, you know, the King, if you're really who you say you are, come down over this cross. And so they were really challenging Him to prove all that He had been saying. John records for us seven different places where Christ claims to be something. And they're really interesting claims. They are, I am the bread, I am the light, I am the way, the truth and the life, I am the resurrection and life. And what's really interesting about all seven of these statements are that they seem to transcend time, they transcend culture. When Christ says, I am the light, you don't need a Greek dictionary to understand what He means. It really doesn't matter if you're an American or an African or an Asian or a Chinese or whatever. When somebody says, found the light, you know what the light is. When He says, I am the bread, we know what the bread is. It's been a staple of our diet throughout history. No matter where you go, what culture you're in, what country you're in, you'll find some form of bread in their diet. And generally it is a major part of their diet. And so this morning, in John chapter 6, His first claim is that very statement. He says, I am the bread. I am the bread of life, He says. And with that statement, for you and I today, again, it's a statement that you and I take, and in some ways, perhaps, we take a little bit for granted. We really focus in, as really as I'm going to do this morning, to be honest, on the part about bread, because that seems to be the focal point. The Jews, on the other hand, would have focused on the I am part. That would have been the part that caused them to, what did he say? That would have been one of those things where perhaps maybe they were mumbling among themselves, and when they heard him say, I am, they're like, whoa, did he say what I think he said? And all of a sudden, their ears would have perked up, and the room would have got real quiet, and there would have been people looking at each other, really the only way to compare that would be if Tommy would have walked up here this morning, and before he sang, he got ready to sing, and he said, just want to let y'all know, before I sing, I am God. You can imagine the reaction that would have evoked. Especially from His own family. They would have, you can imagine this. There would have probably been some who got up and walked out. Come up here and took His guitar from Him and hit Him with it. I mean, it would have caused quite a stir for Him to have said, to have made a statement like that. Well, in honesty, when Christ said, I am, that is what the people listening heard. They heard Him say, I am God, the bread of life. That is exactly what they heard, because this I am statement, goes all the way back and would have brought the Jews back into mind of Christ or God speaking to Moses from the burning bush when Moses said, who do I tell them sent me? And God told him, said, tell them I am sent you. And so the Jews had always heard that and always taught and believed that His name was I am. And so when Christ said, I am, they heard that. They picked right up on that. And then He says, I am God, the bread of life. Now, what led up to that whole conversation was earlier in chapter 6, and we studied this kind of in detail on Wednesday night, but was the feeding of the 5,000. You know the story. There's a crowd there. They're hungry, and the disciples can't figure out how to feed the crowd. And so in making the rounds, they find one young boy that's got five loaves of bread and two fish. And Christ, you know how the story goes. Christ takes the bread, tells them to distribute the bread. They feed the entire crowd and actually have leftovers when they're done. And that is stirring people's interest. Let's be honest. If somebody somewhere had a basket of never-ending food, that would get our curiosity up. We would want to know more about that. And so the crowd is really interested in following Christ now, because they think, hey, if we follow Him, He's going to meet all of our physical needs. We'll have plenty of food if we follow Christ. And so they say to him, give us manna from heaven. Like Moses did for the Israelites back during the Exodus. And in other words, they made several mistakes there. They thought Moses provided the manna. They didn't give God the credit, and they thought what Jesus was giving was the same. I find it really curious, if you know the story of the Exodus, what happened after God gave them a few rounds of manna? They didn't want it anymore. Yeah, they started complaining about it. Now, these folks are back to saying, give us manna like you gave our ancestors. So, kind of shows you the fickle nature of people. They were originally thrilled to get the manna. Then they hated the manna. Now they want manna. And so, and Christ looks at them and he says to them, first of all, he says, Moses didn't send the manna, God did. And he says, second of all, that was not the bread from heaven, that was manna. He said, the bread from heaven is a person. And the Jews respond and say, well, give us that bread. Yeah, we want in on it. And then he responds with this statement, I am the bread of life. Now, this statement, we're not going to go this far in this passage, but because of what takes place, those who are following Jesus for food, they abandon him at this point. They begin to disappear. But he turns to the disciples, and he asks them, he said, are you going to leave too? And those of you who don't remember what Peter responded. Peter said, if we go, where else will we go? You're it. You know, we don't know where else we would turn. And so Christ on Resurrection Sunday verified, he authenticated this statement, I am the bread of life. Exactly what does that mean? What are the benefits? What does it mean to know the bread of life? I want us to look at that statement and discover four things with me about this statement. I am the bread of life. Again, bread is one of those things that that all of us understand. I know a lot of you, especially probably with if you're very old at all, you just don't have a meal that there's not bread. I mean, I can remember going, my great-grandma didn't have a meal that didn't have biscuits. Now, they may have not been fresh biscuits. They may have been left over from the last meal, but just in case you're wondering, her leftover biscuits was better than most people's fresh biscuits. And, I keep thinking one day I'm going to go to one of these restaurants that brings out the basket of bread, and I'm going to order my water, and I'm going to sit there and eat up all the bread and water, and then when they say, what do you want to eat? Oh, I'm done. Yeah, and I don't know how that'll work, but I can literally make a meal off of bread. We're familiar with this idea of bread. It's just a staple. It is a fundamental of diets around the world. So what exactly is Christ saying when he says, I am the bread? Four things that I think we really need to absorb into our life and take in more than just, I know he says he's the bread of life. What exactly does that mean? I think first thing that we need to be reminded of is the text says that he is the very provider of life. Look what he says in that verse. He says, I am the bread of life. Well, that's what he says. He says, I am the bread of life. Again, the Jews would have understood that. When Jesus says, I am, they heard that. Again, their ears stood up. Probably the hair on their neck stood up. I mean, they were like, wow. You could have heard a pin hit the dust that day. When he says, I am the bread of life. Because when he said, I am, again, they would have heard, I am God, the bread of life. And they would have understood again. They would have immediately flashed back and they would have remembered God speaking to Moses and claiming and giving him the name, I am. And so they would have understood beyond any question that at that point, Jesus Christ was saying, I am God. I am on par with God the Father. I am equal to God the Father. And they would have heard that. And then they would have made the assumption and went on from there to say that I am God. I am the very provider of life. I am the very provider of life. And as I think about that, and think what that means. I think again, if I was to ask this morning in this room, if I was to say, how many of you believe that God is the provider of life? I think I'd get 100% vote. I think that would be, something that doesn't happen in a lot of church votes. We'd get 100%. Everybody would say, I believe that God is the provider of life. If we were to get up and start promoting evolution or something else, we'd get some people unhappy because in this group, we would believe, I think pretty well universally, that God is the provider of life. But here's the question that comes to my mind. We believe that, but has that belief changed us? Does that belief really make a difference in us? The fact that we believe that God is the provider of life. Does that mean we argue with evolutionists or folks who believe in the Big Bang? Or has that fundamentally changed who we are, how we think, how we act, how we relate to God when we understand and we absorb, we let it sink in and live like we believe God is the very provider of life? Let me give you an illustration. Let me give you a parallel for a moment. Maybe not a very good one, but I think it will strike a chord with most of us, and I think most of us can identify with this in some way, whether you've been through it or not. I watched yesterday these two men, one who gave a kidney, one who received a kidney. The one who received the kidney, if you know the story, his life, he was hanging on by a thread. This kidney literally saved his life. There is no question, no doubt whatsoever in anybody, in anybody's mind, this kidney, this transplant saved his life. A few months ago, these two men didn't even know each other. They had no idea that the other one even existed on the face of the earth. But by the design of God, He brought them together, let all this happen. But here's what I noticed. That two men who, just as late as, let's say last September, didn't even know the other one existed. Didn't even know the other one was on the face of this earth. Today, I believe, would literally die for each other. Just to watch it. You watch the fellow, you watch Don, the one who received the kidney. And he understands that Tim gave him life. Now, I'm not talking about religion, I know that. But I'm saying he knows that he is up, walking, breathing, singing, enjoying life because someone gave him a kidney. Now, let me ask you to think for a moment. You may have not been in those shoes. I've known several people over the years who have been the recipient or the donor of organs, and it is a life-changing event. A fellow that worked for me, his daughter was killed it was hit by a car, and they gave her organs, she gave her heart, the lady who received the heart was in the same way. She was literally at death's door. They have become fast friends. One of the first things they did after the transplant was get together, and Emily's mother was able to take a stethoscope and put it to the recipient's heart and literally hear her daughter's heart beating. It is a life-changing event. And you may have not been there, but I think you know that it would be life-altering. Let me ask you to think for a moment. If Tim, the donor, was out somewhere and his car broke down, and he called Don, the recipient, and said, "My car is broke down," do you think for a moment Don would say, let's say it was this morning, do you think for a moment Don will say, "Tim, it's raining really hard, and I don't think I can come help you today"? You think he would? Do you think if Tim was to call the donor, to call the recipient, and say, "Don, I got laid off today and I don't have a place to live," do you think the donor, Don, would say to him, "Well, good luck"? Do you think he'd say to him, "Bring your junk, I got a spare room. Bring your junk, you can have my bed"? What do you think? Do you think, knowing that this man gave him life, changed him? Do you think the way it changes the way he looks at the sun come up in the morning? Do you think it changed the way he looked at his wife? Do you think it changed the way when he stands up to sing the gospel? Do you think it changes the way he sings? Do you think it changes the way he approaches every day of his life? Hello? You think so? Well, shouldn't it change us to understand that God Himself gave us life? Not just a simple, "Oh, yeah, God's a creator." But that every day, think about it. What should that change to understand that God is the very bread of life, the very provider of life? You know what that means? And this may seem really weird to some of you, but it's got to where this is a really, really pet peeve of mine. I think it would change the way we think when we ride down the road and throw a bunch of garbage out on God's earth. I tell you, I know several of you, ain't any of you ever ride a motorcycle? You really see it then, but if you don't ride a motorcycle, and some of you I've watched, you're not coordinated enough. You need to be on four wheels. That's good. Next time you pull up to a stoplight, if I'm going to tell you, open up your door and look right out here on the curb. And look at what you see. There'll be enough cigarette butts to stack up over your head. Listen, I know litter is not a real top spiritual topic. I'm just telling you simple things. That if we realize God was the provider of life, wouldn't it change the way, let's get real serious. From litter, wouldn't it change the abortion argument? Wouldn't it change the way we treated nature? Wouldn't it change when we understand that God is the very bread of life, the provider of life? You wouldn't see people. I just saw a thing today where somebody abused a dog. You wouldn't see that. Because they'd understand even a dog, if it's got life, it got life for my Father. Because He is the bread of life. He is the provider of life. And that should change us more than just wanting to argue with the science books. That should cause us to look at everything different. When the sun comes up, or when the rain comes up anymore, when the rain comes up in the morning, yeah, it seems like that's all it does anymore. When the rain comes up in the morning, we should look out and say, you know, listen, I'm not stupid, and there's not, and to say this is kind of foolish because they're the ones, some of them who are not here. But, you know, Pat Williams told me this morning, God bless her, I told Caleb, I said, I bet poor Pat probably won't make it to church this morning. She moves so slow now. You know, she's having so much trouble, she'll get drowned between the parking lot and the church. And, you know, here she come walking in the door. Here's what Pat told me. She said, you know, I got up and I looked out this morning and I started to go back to bed. And she said, but you know what? It hit me. Pat, if this was the day for your hair appointment, would you go back to bed or would you go? When we realize that even rainy days are a gift of the God of life, we get up and go. He is the very provider of life. I am the bread of life. Not only is He the provider of life, but that statement goes a little further. He doesn't just provide life. He is the very protector of life. He is the very protector of life. He doesn't just give you life. He protects the life you have. Well, one of the things that happened to me in our trip to China is that trip made me very germ conscious. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I was very germ aware before then. I am very germ aware now. I think about them too much, to be honest with you. They worry me. You stick your hand out to shake and I look at you. Yeah, I have to think about it a minute. I wonder where that hand's been. Yeah, I wonder whose hand they shook and where their hand's been. When you go in and, you know, I really don't like to grab hold of grocery buggies anymore. Yeah, I go in and I see them youngins gnawing on the handle of grocery buggies, you know. And there are a lot of things I think about. Doorknob, you know, I wonder, I think every door ought to be wide where I can back up and push it out. Yeah, you see me walking through the hospital, I look like I've been in surgery. Yeah, I go up to them foam machines and and depending on where I've been and what floor I've been on, I foam all the way up to here. Any exposed skin, my feet, the whole nine yards. And then I go down the hall like this. Yeah, I get to them doors and I like those doors like out there on the new building, them push bars. I go down the hall and I back up to that door. Yeah, I just keep waiting somebody coming in it when I'm going out. It's, but I'm very germ conscious because, listen, we live in a world, there's some nasty germs out there now. I mean, we're not talking about all of a sudden you got the sneezes. You know, you all of a sudden got the beds. I mean, there's some serious germs out there. You know, there's some bad stuff out there. And some of it don't kill you. Some of it just makes you wish you was dead. You know, that's some really bad stuff. You know, you go to China and they tell you when you take a shower, make sure you don't let your eyes get open to any water in your eyes. You know, that'll make you conscious of it. And they say the water's not, some of you just looked at it, they say the water's not really bad. They drink it all the time. It's just I'm from America and I'm a pansy. I couldn't tolerate it. You know, they're used to it. Yeah, but you get real John conscious. You know, I have become a lot more cautious and careful about my health. I've really tried in the last few months to, I've really reined in and tried to watch my diet and keep my blood sugar under control, you know, become really aware of that and conscious of that. And Kevin Udy, that no-count rascal, it's what happens when you hang around bad influences, caused me to eat a cookie yesterday. First cookie I've ate in probably 4 months, and it's his fault. I thought they were gone. I said, all the cookies are gone. Here comes Kevin. They ain't gone. Yeah, set them right down in front of me. Yeah, even helped me. I couldn't get the container open. He even helped me open the container. Am I lying? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Listen, but here's the reality. I can eat salad 3 meals a day. I can drink purified water. I can exercise. I can take, you know, enough vitamins to choke a horse. Yeah. I can do all those things that they tell you to do. I can eat all the fiber and all those things. And, you know, I can, you know, everything. I can lay off the salt and I can, you know, everything. I can't even list all the things the doctors tell you to do to be healthy. You go nuts trying to be healthy. You lose your mental health trying to be physically healthy, you know, if you listen to everything they say. But I can do all of them. I can hire me a trainer to follow me around and tell me all of it and keep me straight. But you do know that I could do all that and one little piece of fat could break off in my blood veins and go to my heart and lungs and I'd be dead. One cell could get a wild idea and start multiplying wrong, and in a few months I could be dead from cancer. I can do everything I can, but ultimately, my life is in His hands. He doesn't just provide my life, He protects it. I am surrounded every day. Right now, I've been to the hospital this morning. I've been in the emergency room. I don't know what I was surrounded by. I don't know what germs bounced off of me. Pray to God they bounced off of me. I don't know what germs I was surrounded by. I came back down the road. I don't know how many drunks I passed. I don't know how many didn't get there. I love, there was an old Amy Grant song that said, Lord, I want to thank you for the drunk that run out of gas before he passed my way, before he crossed my path. I don't know what I passed today. I don't know what passed me. But I know this, that breath I just took was a gift from God. He says, I am the bread of life. I don't just provide your life, I protect your life. You know, it hadn't been too long ago, I read about a man in Florida, you may have seen this, was laying in his bed, and a sinkhole opened up under his house and literally swallowed him up laying on his bed. They never found his body. Swallowed him up, laying in bed, minding his business. Hasn't been just a few weeks ago. Every time any of you, if you're like me, every time you get on an airplane, you get real spiritual. You know, I think we ought to put everybody on airplanes. You'll get close to God. Literally, and, you know, it'll get you there. But, you know, it hadn't been too long ago. You know, and we think about that when we get on a plane. But you know what? Those planes have got to fall somewhere. It hadn't been too long ago. I think that was where, Illinois, Indiana, somewhere up there. Plane fell out of the sky, fell on people's house, killed several people, sitting there minding their business, doing their thing. The plane falls out of the sky. Listen, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to remind you. If you're alive and you're breathing, God allowed it. He didn't just provide your life, He protected your life, and that ought to change us. Listen, even Gomer Pyle was smart enough when Andy saved his life to realize he owed him. You remember? Do I need to go get them? I got all of them on CD, DVD, whatever. I got all of them. I'll go get them. I need to show you that one. Even Gomer was smart enough to know he owed the person who saved his life. Every moment. God didn't just save me at Calvary. He saved me from my own ignorance more than once. See, I know what some of you know, that I wouldn't have made it out of my teenage years if it wouldn't have been for the grace of God. God didn't just save me from a lot of stuff around me. He saved me from my own stupidity. He didn't just provide me life. He's protected my life. By being the bread of life, He's saying, I provide your life. I protect your life. But I want you to see a third thing about this. Jesus says, not only am I the bread of life, but He says, I provide your life. I protect your life. But I am the pleasure of life. Look what He says. He says, I went too far. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, and those that come to me, He says, they will never hunger. You know what He says? He says, they will never lack. They shall never thirst. You know what He's saying? He says, I will meet your needs. I will meet your every need. When He says, I am the bread of life, I want you to understand what He doesn't just say, I provide you life and I protect your life. You know as well as I do, in the world we live in, there are a lot of, well, what do you call them? Parents. I'm not going to call them mamas and daddies. There are a lot of parents who gave life, but they don't give any pleasure in life. You know, there's a difference in a parent and a mom and a daddy. You know what I'm talking about? There's a big difference. And Christ says here that I don't just give you life, but when I give you life, you'll never hunger or thirst again. I am the very pleasure of life. You listen, y'all know my stance, and I don't mean to beat it to death, but I'm just telling you, it is my heartfelt position. I believe this with all my heart. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. That the day they lay me out, I don't want you coming by my casket going, he looks good. Don't say something you wouldn't have said when I was living, because you ain't never said that when I was living. I want you to come by my casket and go, good grief, what happened to him? He looks used up. Listen, that's my goal in life. I believe with all my heart God created this world for me to enjoy. That's what He says. And some of you Christians need to figure that one out. We need to be a better PR man for God. Some of you walk around, I told Pansy while ago, some of you look like you've been sucking on green persimmons soaked in alum. You don't know what that is, let me know and I'll bring you some persimmons and we'll figure it out. Listen, I believe with all my heart, God didn't just want to give Tommy life. He didn't just want to protect Tommy. He didn't protect Tommy's life so Tommy can walk around being miserable. Does that sound anything like the God you know? God wanted to give Tommy life. He protects Tommy's life so Tommy can walk around saying, I got it made better than anybody else I know. And you know what? He believes that mess. When Tommy said a while ago he was God's favorite son, he believes it with all his heart. You know why? Because God is the pleasure of that man's life. He loves his grandbabies. He loves his son and daughter. He loves his wife. It's just the way he is. But I'm going to tell you something. The pleasure in his life is to see God at work. What really makes time, I'm telling you, and he didn't pay me to say this yet. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not seeing his kids grow up. I can tell you this. I've known him a good while now. What brings pleasure to him is not seeing that his son grew up to be an honest man, but to see that his son has grown up to be a man that loves God. Not to see that his daughter has grown up, got married, stable home, college education, giving him a couple of beautiful grandbabies, but to see that his daughter loves God. God is what brings him pleasure in his life. And God wants you to understand that this morning, that He wants you to enjoy this big world He's made. Yes, the devil's messed it up. Yes, there's plenty of sin out there. But I want to tell you something. The sun comes up every day, and the stars shine at night, and the rain falls, and the flowers are blooming, and babies are still being born, and people are still out there, and there's people that love God, and there's still some good stuff going on, and God wants us to enjoy this big world. He says, if you know me, you will never be hungry. You will never be thirsty. You can enjoy what I've made. Listen, some of us think for some reason we got to wait till we die to have fun. Is that even... That just sounds crazy to say it, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm looking forward to heaven. Yeah, but I ain't wanting to get on the bus tonight. I'm still wanting to enjoy what God's got right here. Because I believe He created this for me to enjoy. Listen, eternity's long, would you agree? So I got plenty of time to check out heaven. I got plenty of time. There's still a lot of stuff here I haven't seen. Still a lot of stuff here. Now, let me just tell you, I don't care much if I ever leave Cabarrus County. I'm still exploring it. You know, I don't care much about it. I'm right here. I'm good. I'm right here. I've been to the ocean. I've been to the mountains. I ain't been to China. I'm pretty well good. You know, I wouldn't mind going to Hawaii, but I could just about be happy flying over and just looking at it and coming on back home, because I want to sleep in my bed at night. I'm just a homeboy. It's just the way I am. I ate a lot of stuff in Cabarrus. Every now and then I find out there's something in Cabarrus County I hadn't been to. I still hadn't eaten at this new restaurant up here everybody talks about. Tell me it's expensive, so I ain't gone yet. Yeah. Listen, I'm just telling you, I want to enjoy this life. And I believe God means for us to. He says, tell me what you say about life. He says something about, what kind of life? What kind of life?
Abundant.
You know what abundant means in the Greek?
Abundant.
Thank you. I'm going to teach y'all some Greek, yeah. Abundant means abundant. That's what it means. He is the protector of life. He is the provider of life. He is the pleasure of life. But then look what he says as he goes on in this verse. He moves on a little bit further in verses 37 to 40. He says this. He says, I am the very promise of life. Listen, I told you, that's my goal in life. To get to the point where you walk by my casket and go, goodness gracious, boy, he's used up. But here's what I want you to understand. When that day comes, and you walk by and say, man, you think he'll use this up if you could only see him now. Because Jesus says this. He says, everyone that sees the Son and believes on him will have everlasting life. Listen, I'm doing my best to be used up right here, but I got a knee that hurts and a bad back. I'm going to be dangerous when I got a glorified body with no aches and pains. I'm going to tell you, Christ says, I don't just provide you life. I don't just protect your life. I don't want you just to have pleasure in this life. I want you to have the promise of everlasting life. The other thing I want you to do when you come by and you look in my casket and go, man, he looks used up. As I said, I want you to look and say, but he's not here anymore. He's not here anymore. He's really having a spell now. Listen, Christ says, you take the bread of life, you'll never be hungry. Never be hungry. There's a little sign, I don't know if you've seen it or not, some of you may not go there, but I've been in a few Hardee's and they got a little sticker on the door. You know, Hardee's is a big thing today, and I don't get commission, I don't own stock, nothing. You know, their big thing now is them great big old burgers. And, you know, the sticker on the door, on some of them, says this. It may not seem like it now, but you'll be hungry again. You ever been in that place? Thanksgiving afternoon, about 1:30, you think, oh, I'll never eat again. About 5 o'clock, you're right back at it. You know. Halftime of the football game, you're in the cabinets. You know, any of that leftover pie? You know, I thought you said you was full. I was. Jesus says you eat of the bread of life, you'll never be hungry again. You'll never want again. Ever. 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 He's the provider of life, the protector of life, the pleasure of this life, and the promise of life. That's our hope. Several years ago, some of you may have seen this, some of you may not pay any attention, but on almost every piece of bread you buy today, commercial bread, the bread companies jumped all over this. We were so thrilled when I was in the bread business, we were so thrilled when the government came out and said this. You know how they used to talk about the four food groups, right? Cookies, cake, pie, and ice cream. Yeah, the four food groups. Four major food groups. All the other ones are just, you know, they're the four that matter. But they came out, if you remember, if you've ever noticed, if you hadn't read it, but on the back of almost every piece of commercial bread has that little food pyramid. Have you seen that? Have you ever read it and what it says? They decided it wasn't enough just to have four food groups and eat from the four food groups. What they've come out and said was that down here at the base of that pyramid were some things that were more important that you should eat more of every day, and then less as you go up towards the point of the pyramid. Do you know what's down here in that bottom line, the most important thing you eat every day? No, not ice cream, Kevin. It's up there, but it's bread. Bread. Bread products. Fiber. Wheat. It's the basis. It's the foundation. It's what makes all that other stuff work. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Long before the government figured it out, long before the doctors figured it out, Jesus Christ said, if you eat of the bread of life, you'll never be hungry. As our musicians come this morning, I want to ask you a really serious question. Most everyone in this room today, you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart. Here's the question I want to know. Has the bread of life changed you? Are you different for having met Jesus Christ? Are you different for realizing this morning He provided you life? He protected you life? You're here this morning because God allowed you to be here. You know, you came to church this morning on a rainy morning, and you see it, you hear of it. I've done it. Riding along, minding your business, and all of a sudden you hit a puddle of water, and phew, I was going to work one morning, about 2:30 in the morning, minding my business. Next thing I knew, I was kissing a telephone pole. You know, I still ain't real sure what happened, other than I hit a puddle of water, and that little car took off. By the grace of God, I threw it in reverse, backed up off that telephone pole, and I went to work. By the grace of God, you got here this morning. By the grace of God, you were allowed to sit here. You could have fell over in this church service this morning. God allowed you to get to this invitation. Has the bread of life changed you? More important, you're here today and you've never accepted Christ. You've never accepted the gift of the bread of life. You've never asked Him into your heart. He's not your personal Savior. Today is the day. You need to come. Jesus says if you come, you've been searching, you've been looking, you've been reading, you've been trying to figure out what in the world am I here for? What is the answer to all these problems? Listen, I'm going to tell you what the answer is. The answer is Jesus Christ, the bread of life. He came and He died on a cross just for you. You're here today and you don't know Him as your Savior. You need to come. Let us show you from God's Word how you can never hunger, never thirst again.